Welcome to Bulls Gold episode 54. I'm Salim Sutterwala, and as always, I'm joined by Edward Trula Jr. Hey, Edward, how has your weekend started out so far?
Weekend's been good. Weekend's been really good. Really great weather out here in Charlotte, and I'm excited to go enjoy it later. But just another week closer to getting a little bit more NBA news going. I think media day and training camp start in a few weeks, so stuff should be picking up steam pretty soon. How about you? How's things going for you?
Pretty good. I mean, yeah, the NBA is, I feel like, less than a couple of weeks away. Some teams should be starting their media day, I think, like on the 27th, but the Bulls is on the 30th. So, yeah, it's exciting, man, getting closer and closer to some real action. I'm growing well myself, you know, just enjoying the summer ending. I know, as I always say, I hate the heat, and I love fall weather, so I'm looking forward to, you know, some fall weather starting here soon. Today is the last day of summer, so hopefully we can get some 50, 60 degree weather. But yeah, anyways, enough of my random off the topics banter here. But as we're still waiting for the season start, like we said, we're continuing our player reviews. For this episode, we're going to go over Thaddeus Young and his addition to the team and how he fits with the young core. Also, there are obviously there was a nice article about Kobe White on the Chicago Tribune that we'll be going over, and how his offseason has gone and some little other factors about him in general. So to start with Thad Young, I think both of us were pretty happy overall about the signing. Mm-hmm. That happened, but at the same time, we were kind of surprised how quickly the front office acted and kind of going out and signing him, especially because we thought they would kind of let the market set the tone and wait out the first day or so of free agency. You know, however, they didn't do that. They acted pretty quickly and went and prioritized and signed Thaddeus Young. Overall, there are various reasons why Thad will be a great addition to the team, not only with him being a quality two-way player, but he kind of brings stability and leadership to the team as well. So to start, Edward, how do you see Thad fitting in with the team, and how do you think he'll help the Bulls on court?
I think he helps this team in a variety of ways, really on both sides of a basketball. Like, as you mentioned, he's a great leader. He's a great leader. He's a consummate professional, and he plays the right way. And, you know, when this rebuild started, you know, John Paxson, I think, always talked about he wanted to get, you know, veterans on this team that played the right way and could lead by example or lead, you know, through, positive experience. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, I think that Thaddeus Young is that type of player. And he kind of fits like that Taj Gibson role for this team, in the sense that you get someone off the bench who can also start if there are injuries, who is just going to bring it each night. Like, you know what you're going to get from him. It's not going to be anything that's highlight reel worthy. Like, I doubt we'll be watching Thad Young highlights, you know, throughout the regular season, but, you know, we're going to get a solid player this season. And, you know, to kind of put that into perspective, Thaddeus Young, drafted in 2007, 12th overall by Philadelphia, he is 6 in win shares in the 2007 draft. So he's 6 behind Joakim Noah, Mike Conley, Marc Gasol, Al Horford, and Kevin Durant. So, you know, those are players who made all-star teams, and a few players who were just, like, you know, in Kevin Durant's case, a superstar player. So, you know, he's in pretty good company in terms of being able to make an impact on winning basketball games. He's going to defend really well. He can, you know, defend. I think he could probably play, like, you know, he's going to play power forward. He can play a little bit of small forward. Depending on a small ball lineup, he may even be able to play center, but, you know, defensively, you're going to get really good effort. You're going to get really good communications, and you're going to get so much versatility on that end. And then offensively, I think some people are going to look at him offensively and say, well, Thaddeus Young doesn't make a whole lot of 3-point shots. And, you know, of course, that's crucial for a power forward position these days. But I think what you get from Thaddeus Young to make up for the lack of, you know, elite 3-point shooting or high volume 3-point shooting is you just get a player that, one, can still pass the ball really well. You get a player that is really good around the basket in terms of scoring in the paint. And you get a player that can move without the basketball. And you get a player who really ultimately doesn't even need to drop like 20 or 30 points or whatever to create value offensively, simply because he just plays the right way. He plays within that, you know, team concepts. So I think when we're looking at this team concept, Thaddeus Young is really, really important to what the Bulls are going to do. And, you know, as you mentioned, he has really, really high intangibles that are going to, you know, help these young players that we have on this Bulls team.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, you brought up a good point. Yeah, definitely. The Bulls do need to shoot more threes. They do need to play faster. But overall, another big aspect the Bulls struggled on in the half court game, and they struggled a lot finishing near the rim. Mm. They need to overall play faster, the younger, because they have the younger athletes like Zach, you know, Kobe, Wendell. But playing within like in the half court game where the Bulls finished 28% inside and finishing inside the rim, where they only made about 58% of their shot attempts. When you look at like some of the best teams in the league, like the Warriors and the Bucks, both of those teams led the league in that category, like finishing in the paint within like 5 feet of the rim. When you look at the best, like I said, so when you look at Young himself, he took about 46% of his field goals that were within 3 feet of the basket, and he converted 68% of those shots doing it. So I think that should be a big factor for improving the Bulls' offense overall. And like you said, obviously they're going to be shooting more threes. I think you'll see, I'm sure you'll see guys like Zach, Kobe, Wendell, even new additions like Luke Kornet. Obviously, Otto Porter will factor into that play. Satoransky is going to be a guy that shoots a bunch of threes. But Thad brings that other type of dimension that the Bulls did lack last year that I think would be a big improvement for the Bulls offense.
Yeah, absolutely. And even if you expand that, and you know, you brought up the amount of field goals he's attempted around the basket, even if you expand that and you just stick to like just field goal percent, you know, percent of field goal attempts in terms of like 0 to 10 feet, that's over 75% of his offense. So he knows what he's really good at, and he's very efficient at it. So he's going to be in the paint. He's going to be around the basket, and he's going to bring like a very tough and physical mindset to the Bulls front court. And, you know, in terms of fit, I really like it because one, he can play next to Lauri Markkanen. So, you know, offensively, Lauri Markkanen can play power forward, and Thaddeus Young could, you know, virtually kind of be the center on offense because of what he can do around the paint. So you can still have that inside outside. And that's the same thing with Luke Kornet as well. You know, Luke Kornet is someone who's going to take a lot of 3-point shots and doesn't really play inside the paint. I think Luke Kornet takes like what, well over like 65% of his shots are threes. So you put Thaddeus Young in the paint and you still have that inside outside where you can, you know, you can bring a center to a perimeter, and then you can have like a smaller player inside for Thaddeus Young to have a better matchup against, and that just kind of helps your offense in general. So like you said when we started this, Thaddeus Young signing with the Bulls, like that being the first move, I don't think anyone really expected that, you know, like if that was, you know, a betting pool that we had going on, like, I mean, nobody would have won that. Because I think we all expected like fully for the Bulls to like target a point guard or something like first, like right off the bat. So the fact that they got a guy like Thaddeus Young who checks so many boxes, like I think that is really, really important to this team because you have more of a high floor, you know, veteran in this guy. So, and that seemed to be the theme of free agency in general. They got players that are high floor. You know, some fans may consider it low ceiling, or, you know, oh, they're not flashy enough or whatever, or they're not high volume enough in terms of what they do. But I think that is really, I think that's important because it fits with this team right now. We don't necessarily need to find another high volume player unless that player is like some type of, you know, superstar, obviously. So in terms of being able to create a team that has balance, to create a team that has defined roles, and to create a team where players, you know, players are going to produce in those roles, I think Thaddeus Young just goes a long way in being able to accomplish that.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, you know, efficiency, as you brought up, is very important. In particular, like you said, you know, the way he fits with different players and his fit in general, be interested to see how Boylan ends up using Young within the offense. And because the way I think he will end up being used, I think he does play more inside. You'll end up seeing a guy like Luke Kornet play ahead of a rookie in Daniel Gafford, for sure. Not only because I think the Bulls are want to win more next season, so it's kind of hard to, you know, have two rookies in the rotation when you're trying to win games. But I think Kornet's shooting ability really fits better with Thad. So in that second unit, with Kornet spreading spacing out the floor, you'll be able to see Thad kind of, you know, operated within the spots that he's been highly more efficient in over the last few years, which I think in turn will overall help the Bulls' offense and inside-out game in general.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, though, because – and I was thinking about this, like, you know, when we were talking about, like, you know, discussing Thaddeus Young, but – is it interesting to you how his career has gone in the sense that, you know, I remember when Thaddeus Young came out, I think he spent like 1 year at Georgia Tech. He was maybe a 4 or 5 star recruit, and he was kind of viewed as I think people expected more from his career in terms of like maybe flashier numbers, but he's kind of transitioned more along the way in terms of being this, you know, hard-nosed veteran who does so many different things that just don't really show up on a stat sheet. And he's now had, like, what, this is going to be his 13th season in the NBA. And, I mean, he's going to pave out probably at least a 16, 17, 18-year career, you would think. Like, are you – does it surprise you that Thaddeus Young's career has really, like, gone this route in terms of, like, what you may have expected from him, like, in 2007 as a prospect?
You know, I don't remember much from him about 2007. As far as him in the league – guys like him always have long careers because they are intelligent players. You know, they're fundamentally sound as far as doing the right things. You don't see them make a lot of mistakes. You know, that's why you see a lot of these guys that you wonder, like, why, even guys that are not as good as Thad Young, that play smart basketball, that end up sticking around in the league for a long time. Like a guy like Brian Cardinal, remember him? He was not very good. Obviously, he got a bad contract handed to him when a lot of bad contracts were being handed out. But he kind of played, you know, intelligently. He was a good locker room presence, things like that. So adding the fact that Thaddeus Young is a solid two-way player, he also obviously brings good chemistry within the locker room. So when you look at all of that combined, no, it's not surprising that he's had this long career and he's been a guy that, you know, has well respected around the league.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So do you we've mentioned like the locker room presence that he had. So, I mean, overall, like you're expecting like I think there should be a better locker room. Not that I think the locker room was like, you know, cancerous or anything the past few years, but in terms of like, you know, adding guys like, you know, Otto Porter from last year. Now we have Thaddeus Young, Tomas Satoransky, supposed to be a pretty good, you know, locker room leader. And, you know, we're going to talk about Coby White later and, you know, who he's been following, you know, as a rookie so far. But, like, I'm excited, like, for, you know, in terms of, you know, creating a good locker room vibe, in terms of creating chemistry, in terms of these young players, like, building an actual culture. And, you know, when you think of all that, it, you know, Thaddeus Young, I mean, the signing just makes so much sense. And even then, the Bulls got him for like a really, you know, good price on what, like a 2-year deal with a third year that's non-guaranteed.
Yeah, 100%. You're going to see guys like, obviously, we're going to have Otto Porter for the full year, like you mentioned. Thaddeus Young, obviously, he's going to bring in his experience as well. The big thing with these two guys that they bring is, and again, the keyword stability and again, playoff experience, how to win in this league. Granted, it's not championship pedigree necessarily, but these are guys that are battle tested. They know how to, even in close game situations, they know what to do. And that can only help the development of guys like Zach Lowry, Wendell, and so forth, as far as what to do in the crunch time. And especially Zach last year, at times we saw him struggle, you know, to what kind of shot to take and things like that. And maybe, you know, that has played with other guards, star guards in his career. Most recently, a guy like Victor Oladipo, for example. And then maybe he can impart that wisdom onto Zach. Say, hey, look, this is what I saw Victor take his steps, take his leaps. These are some of the things he did, for example, and, you know, that could maybe come into play as well. And obviously, they already have a pretty good relationship, it seems, because I remember when the signing when it was announced, I think his wife had posted a video, and Thad was talking with Zach about, hey, we're finally being able to play together again. It's like, oh, they have a good relationship, it seems. They are friends off the court. So yeah, I think all of that put together, you know, it's going to be a big positive impact for this young team, and I think that's what the front office is kind of hoping for, to see kind of all come together in a unison, if you will.
You know, I forgot that Thaddeus Young played with Zach LaVine in Minnesota. Did you remember that?
No, not before. Not before I saw that video, because he mentioned, "Yeah, we're going to be playing together again." I'm like, "Hey, when the heck did they play together?"
Yeah.
So I looked up Basketball Reference. I was like, "Oh yeah, they played together for a year when Zach's rookie year, and Thad was on the team for that one season in Mini." So I was like, "Oh, okay, cool. So they have a relationship prior to this."
Yeah, I forgot that. I think one of us may have said that. A while back when the signing happened, but I just forgot about it. I was like, wait, they did play together.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, like, you didn't really know it.
Yeah, he's in Minnesota just for, like, a coffee, and that was about it.
Yeah, he was on Philly, I think, before that, and then he went to Mini for, like, a song and a dance, and then then kind of went over to the Pacers for a while. So, but yeah, no, definitely it'll be a very good experience for the team to have guys like him on the team overall. So as we know, switch gears here, as we were talking about earlier, there was a nice little Kobe White article on the Tribune. It was pretty good read overall. What were some of your thoughts that you got from it? Like some of the things that stuck out, points and stuff like that he made.
I think it's really, really good that Ryan Arcidiacono is being a very good veteran leader for his team, even though he's not really what you would call a veteran, I guess, because this is Ryan Arcidiacono's like third year in the NBA, but I like Ryan Arcidiacono's professionalism, and it's really good, you know, hearing what Kobe White is basically, you know, taking him, or that Ryan Arcidiacono has taken Kobe White under his wing. And it's also interesting to hear about some of the you know, contrasts in terms of coaching styles, you know, that Kobe White is coming from. You know, he's coming from Roy Williams, who, you know, well, I'll just read the quote, but he basically said that Coach Jim Boylan, I feel like, is really intense. Roy Williams is more kind of laid back. Like, he's intense, but for the most part, he's really laid back. Whenever I came to Chicago before the draft, this was my favorite place to visit because of the level of attention Coach Boylan had towards me. Some of my visits, the head coach wasn't even there. So it's like for him to be there and break down my game the way he did and stuff like that, it means a lot to me. So I mean, that's really, really encouraging. I mean, I think we've read and heard a lot about how Jim Boylan is really, I mean, obviously we know he's like really passionate, but, you know, he seems like to genuinely care about all the players that come through to this team, and to have, you know, that sort of stand out to Kobe White upon his draft visit was, you know, really, really cool. And there was another thing in here about how Kobe White's kind of getting a crash course in NBA analytics. He was saying that I didn't know that data was so important until I got to the league. When I was in high school, in college, you just hooped, you just played basketball. Now it's like corner threes and layups are the high percentage shots in the league. When we practice, we have corner threes and layups all day long. So it really seems like he's obviously getting like a good taste of what the league is like. But the analytics part is definitely always cool to just kind of get a peek at, because it seems like that's becoming heavier and heavier in terms of not only the games, but now practice as well. But yeah, what stood out to you about this?
Yeah, so the two other things you mentioned with Arch taking him under his wing, I think that's why you kind of see why the Bulls, obviously not only his play on the court has been solid as far as contributing, but the leadership and the professionalism that Arch brings, I think that's why the Bulls front office really like him. And seeing him kind of take a rookie under his wing and kind of, you know, making him feel comfortable, it's like, that's really good. It's nice to see. And so Kobe's not kind of, you know, pressing too much and doesn't, you know, get over his head at all at any point. The NBA analytics stuff was kind of funny to me because he makes a good point, right? I love it. I love analytics, as I've never been shy of saying that. I'm not somebody that's necessarily a communist about analytics. I don't just stick to the numbers only. I like to have a good balance, but he makes a good point when he's saying like, hey, yeah, you know, back in the day, you'd be like, all right, make them shoot further from the basket. Don't let them shoot closer. But now it's like, yeah, well, 3 points is better than two. So yeah, you rather have them take a long two as opposed to taking the 3-point shot. So it makes sense. And it's funny as far as, you know, hearing him say that and how the mentality has changed even just from what, like 5 years ago, six years ago. So it's that was an interesting factor too. And the other thing I want to talk about is, and I've been kind of thinking about overall for a little bit now about him, because you'd mentioned obviously losing his father to liver cancer. You got to give him a lot of credit for, as a 19-year-old kid last season, earning minutes under a coach that never likes to play rookies, freshman players. You see Roy Williams constantly benching a lot of the young players. That's why we didn't see Nasir Little play a lot, because, you know, first year players coming off the bench, but he was able to earn starting minutes, especially going through such trauma like that. I wonder if at times that held his game back dealing with that trauma last season. And I remember another quote, and it wasn't in this article, but a different article right after he was drafted, where he would say that, you know, there'd be times where he would kind of be detached from everyone. He would just sit there, like, just really sad and kind of space out and not be really, you know, communicative with friends, teammates and things like that. And people just thought, like, he was probably being standoffish, but they didn't really know what he was going through, right?
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting. I'll be interested to see, like, you know, as time has passed, you know, obviously you never really recover from using a loved one. I haven't experienced that kind of loss myself. So I'm not going to try to say, you know, it's going to be completely different this year than next. But I think we can all say in some way or form, as time passes, you become stronger in dealing with it, right? I think that can be, say, that's factual. So it'll be interesting next year, like, you know, as he's had another full year to kind of deal with his emotions and things like that with his father, if that'll transpire onto the court where he plays a little better, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. And maybe that could be a reason why at times he didn't play as well certain games during his college season.
Yeah, I think you make a good point that, you know, Roy Williams is really, I mean, he's really kind of hard, I think, on, you know, freshman players. I mean, we've seen it with, we've seen it in the past, like you mentioned Nasir Little. We've seen a little bit of it with, like, Harrison Barnes, I think, before as well. But, you know, one of the big impacts that, you know, Coby White had, you know, on the floor, you know, while being able to deal with that, you know, what was going on in his life, is he basically was able to change the identity of this North Carolina team. Like, he made, you know, him playing point guard as the primary ball handler, he turned North Carolina into one of the fastest teams in the country in terms of possessions per game. Like, I think they were, like, maybe 10th in all of college basketball in that department. So, I mean, we saw Coby White change that, you know, style. We saw him play with a lot of pace. We saw him push the ball. And we saw him just become, like, a really dynamic threat in transition. So, you know, there's a lot to be encouraged about with Coby White. He seems like he has very strong character. He seems like he has the intangibles, and you can see why, you know, the Bulls were, you know, more than fine with, you know, taking this guy at the number 7 overall pick. Like, he could end up being a very good player for this team, but more importantly, he fits, you know, that type of hardworking, you know, identity that this team wants to have, and he can go a long way to, you know, helping rebuild this culture, even if he is just, what, like 19 years old. So, I mean, yeah, I like what I read about Coby White in this article. I was also going to mention the analytics part, and I don't know if you saw this, but did you see, there was a picture from a Minnesota Timberwolves practice or something where they actually have, like, the percentages or points per possession on the court at different spots. Have you seen that?
No, I saw someone mention it. That's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, so, I mean, it seems like teams really are going a long way to make sure that players understand, you know, their strengths and weaknesses on the court and the best shots to take. I mean, to me, that's a really big step to actually step on the practice floor and you see stats and you see, like, okay, you shouldn't take this shot. You should take this shot right here.
Yeah, like, kind of your sweet spot, if you will.
Yeah.
Here's your sweet spot, so stick to these. Try to stick to these. You know, I think that's there can be a positive and negatives. I think if players look at it where, these are where I'm great at. I do need to keep continuing to work on that part of my game, but this is where I'm bad at, so I need to make sure I focus and try to improve there. Mm-hmm. I hope players don't take it as, okay, I need to avoid that shot forever. Mm-hmm. I hope that doesn't become that, because that could be a determinant as far as development of your game is concerned.
Yeah. Because you never know what players are going to think of it, because, I mean, like, it kind of reminds me of the movie Moneyball in a way where, you know, they were coming up with these, like, formulas to find, like, you know, hidden gems in terms of players or whatever. But, you know, they were also telling players, like, hey, don't swing when you're at a, you know, a 1-2 count, or don't do this on a 2-3 or a 2-2 count or whatever like that. And, you know, it was almost like some players weren't comfortable with the analytics taking precedent over, you know, a player's natural instinct to do certain things, or like a general feel for it, you know. So the fact that this has come over to the NBA, I wonder how all players are going to receive it, in the sense, like, some players are just like, you know, bump that, like, I'm taking that shot regardless, I don't care what the numbers are saying. And, like, you even hear some type of, like, sometimes you hear, like, a lot of you know, older analysts talk about that, like, especially on, like, TNT with, like, Charles Barkley and things like that. They're just kind of like, hey, you know, analytics are cool, they have a place, but, like, sometimes you just got to let these players play basketball, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And it'd be kind of weird situations, like, you know, the clock is running down and a player is sitting on a spot where it's like, I'm only one of 20 from this spot in the season. I can't take this, and passes it to someone. No, you're a better shooter from there. Let's get you the ball there. And the time runs out. That would be a bad situation to happen, right? That would be of like an embarrassing thing.
Jim Boylan would not be pleased about that. There would be some serious turmoil in the leadership committee with that.
There would be a lot of sprints being ran.
But yeah, this is a really encouraging aura from Kobe White, and I'm excited to see how his rookie season goes and how his experience overall is. I mean, we're both of us are not so sure, you know, how many minutes he's going to get off the bat. I mean, especially with Chris Dunn still here. I mean, I guess that part will still be interesting. But I mean, he with his shooting ability, and, you know, he seems like a solid team defender. I mean, I think he could have a role on this team comfortably, and, you know, still be able to, you know, produce something. I don't know.
Yeah, I think like 15 minutes to start out. I could see that, you know, coming off the bench. I don't know how much point guard he'll play right away. I can see him playing more off the ball, because especially with his shot right now, he's a better spot-up shooter than a guy that shoots, you know, off the dribble. Mm-hmm. I think we saw that as with his percentages. Even in college, I think at a spot-up shooter, he was like, what, 90th percentile or something like that?
Yeah.
So I think that you'll see him play maybe, that's my guess, is about 15 minutes. Another interesting point in the article I thought was him mentioning Chris Paul as his favorite player. And it kind of made sense as far as why, you know, because I remember seeing CP3 kind of tweet about Kobe and mention him. And I guess he played Kobe, that is, he played for Chris Paul's AAU team. So that was an interesting tidbit in there as well.
I didn't know that. Okay, so he played for Chris Paul's AAU team. Is he under the same management team as, like, because I know Dwayne Wade, you know, has talked about Kobe White, because I know they're Kobe White's CAA, or he's on CAA or whatever. I can't remember if Chris Paul is as well, but I mean, that connection would make a lot of sense. Plus, Chris Paul is from, like, North Carolina, and I believe Kobe White is from North Carolina as well, in terms of not the school, but, like, just the state itself. So I think they have that connection to, yeah, Kobe White's from Goldsboro, North Carolina, wherever that is.
Yeah.
I like that he's got, it seems like he has some really positive veterans, you know, not even just on the Bulls, but, like, off the court, that he's being able to you know, follow and shadow a little bit and see how things really work. So, I mean, it seems like he's putting himself around the right people on top of, you know, seeming like he has like a pretty level, you know, low maintenance type of personality.
Yeah, definitely. I think seeing him, you know, like you said, surrounding with the right people, his good personality, seems like a very joyful kid. He's always kind of happy, go lucky kind of guy, and wants to, obviously not taking it for granted that he's earned, but he's very, he seems very laid back and guy that, you know, he knows what he needs to do. And he mentioned how the up and downs of a rookie season can happen, because obviously I'm sure other players have talked to him about it. And he's like, you know, I just need to make sure I stay focused and not get too down on myself if I do have a bad night shooting wise and things like that.
How many games do you think he starts this season?
Ooh, that's going to be I don't know. I want to say he won't start.
No game started.
Unless there's guys sitting out and things like that. I have a feeling that they'll bring him off the bench. He'll increase his minutes as the season goes along. I just envision Satoransky starting the entire season, at least this year. And then next season, going into training camp, he'll be able to battle for a starting spot. I'll be pleasantly surprised if something else happens. That'd be kind of really cool if somehow he just, you know, takes off and he just steals a starting spot like, you know, other rookies have in the past. But
yeah.
That's my thought process right now. I feel like Satoransky will be the starter, and they'll bring Kobe along slowly. And as the season finishes off, we'll see him playing maybe around 20 plus minutes a game.
I'll give him two starts.
Two?
Two, because of injury or something like that. I'll give him two starts.
I can't disagree with that. Yeah, I can see that. I guess I thought you just meant, like, when do you think he'll take over the starting
spot? Oh, yeah. Well, that too. I mean, you know, I guess long-term – I mean, Satoransky's only on a 2-year deal, third year unguaranteed or non-guaranteed. So, I mean, logically, you would think that Kobe White, by the third year, the Bulls are hoping that he's ready to be a full-time starter. So, I mean,
So that
would be a plan. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just figured it would be more so next season. We'll see him getting the starting spot, like beating out, you know, Satoransky or whatever.
I mean, if he beats out Satoransky in training camp, I mean, hey.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to be complaining. No one will be complaining if that happens.
Hey, do what you do, man. More power to you. So, yeah, I mean, that would be amazing, because then that just makes the Bulls an even deeper basketball team. So, I'm expecting a pretty solid rookie season from Kobe White, and I think he's just a really good fit for the scene right now. So, yeah, good article from the Chicago Tribune.
Yeah, for sure. It was definitely a fun read, for sure. You know, as we're wrapping up the episode here, do you have any final thoughts overall with that, or even with Kobe?
No final thought. Well, I mean, there was always some thoughts, but I like the conversation we had about Thaddeus Young. I think he's going to have a really good impact on this basketball team. And again, just a very quality signing by the Bulls, who quietly, I think, had a very, you know, good offseason that a lot of people, you know, have kind of caught on to, and they should be in the mix for a playoff spot because of it. I mean, I think we continuously have to give John Paxson credit for it. And, you know, we'll see what happens when the games actually start. But, you know, on paper, I can't really complain about, you know, anything that they've did so far. So, Thaddeus Young should be a very productive piece for the team.
Yeah, I think this is around this time of the season where my pessimistic and cynicism is at an all-time low. So I'm excited, you know, especially we got a lot of kind of new toys, if you will, and certain expectations going into media day and training camp. So, yeah, you know, it'll be interesting to see how everything comes together. We're in definitely a different phase of this rebuild, going into a different phase of this rebuild. So it'll be fun. And hopefully health is on our side.
I'm not gonna say I think it will, but I don't expect anything like last year where Denzel and Lowry like the elbow and then the ankle, like, was it like 2 days into training camp? Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't expect that. I feel like there's only one. I feel like, you know, we're due for some, you know, good mojo in that department, at least as far as training camp goes.
I hope so, man. We need it. Well, anyways, that's a wrap for episode 54. Please check out any previous episodes that you may have missed. You can listen to all our episodes on various podcast services providers like iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, and Google Play. Also, please give us a follow on Twitter at Bulls Gold. And as always, for Edward Schuler and myself, thank you again to the listeners for always tuning in. And we're out, Bulls Nation.